Now when, and this is good to hear, sisters, the virtue that we receive, or virtue that we receive at baptism, are not only personal powers, they're also apostolic powers. Remember our Lord, at the close of his ministry, before his ascension, told his apostles, "Go therefore, proclaim the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit, and teach the people to observe everything which I have commanded you." So baptism is already an apostolic virtue. In other words, we have the power to proclaim the faith. So, now, this source. Baptism is one source of apostolic power to proclaim the gospel. Confirmation. Confirmation, and sisters, hear it. One of the favorite names for the sacrament of confirmation, it is now being called, and widely in Catholic circles, Sacramentum Martyrii, the sacrament of martyrdom. Confirmation. And then, of course, the priesthood. Of course, the sacrament of holy orders sanctifies the man who is ordained. But the principal power, virtus if you wish, that he receives is to do what? Especially remember. Especially to, and that's the first power that he receives, to consecrate bread and wine, to offer Mass, and to provide Holy Communion. He also receives the power, strange language, the virtus, the power, but apostolic, of forgiving sins. And then, depending on how his position in the church, he receives the power to teach and to govern, to direct souls. A priest, therefore, is not merely giving advice. Take a man like St. John Vianney, remember. He had a special meeting in the seminary. Should we ordain this fellow? Yes, so his teachers taught such a low-grade intelligence. Remember? Then they voted. Lucky the majority voted. He should be ordained. So they ordained him. But his power to teach did not come from his natural intellect. Am I making sense? It came from his priesthood. Now, the sources of his apostolic power, I could go on for hours, but I think you begin to see what we're saying. Now, then, the exercise. The exercise of this power requires faculties. Okay? In other words, faculty is a right, R-I-G-H-T, the right which the church gives, say in this case, a priest or a bishop, to exercise his powers. And the church has a right, again R-I-G-H-T, to declare and two things. There are, exercise, equals, faculty. Faculty is the right to exercise the power received, say for a priest when he's ordained, or a bishop when I prefer to say is consecrated. Now these faculties are of two kinds. They are faculties for exercising his power validly, and the faculty to exercise his power implicitly. Now, sisters, most people have no idea how much the present Holy Father has done for the church. Tremendous. Among the things which the Holy Father did for the first time in 1900 years, never before, when a priest was ordained, he of course had the right to absolve people in the sacrament of confession. The right, R-I-G-H-T. But he was forbidden to exercise this right, and forbidden in two ways. Either forbidden so he could not give absolution, or forbidden so that he was not allowed to exercise his power of absolution, but if he gave the absolution, it would be valid. Until Pope John the Pope became Pope and published canon law on the first Sunday of Advent, 1983. So this year, this past Sunday, was the 14th anniversary of the new Code of Canon Law. The Holy Father, never before, in the canon law it states, as long as a priest has faculties, to exercise his apostolic power as a priest to absolve in his own diocese. For example, I have faculties to absolve in the Archdiocese of Detroit. Then, that priest automatically has a right to absolve in every diocese in the world. The only ones, until Pope John Paul became Vicar of Christ, the only ones who had that right were guests, only cardinals. Only cardinals. For example, and we have many dioceses in the United States. Frank, you are Ann Arbor Diocese, right?
Lansing.
Pardon me, Lansing.